Deacon Sullivan, open us in prayer, please.
Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you and praise you for the glory that you've shown us and for the healing that you've given our bodies, Father. You've given us amazing bodies that can heal, and we thank you for that. And I ask a special healing for Pastor Lear as he's come home and should be have all this behind him and heal at his house, Father. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name.
Amen. Very good. Okay, from Psalm 20. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven. With the saving grace of his right hand, they are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed, let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, none that wait on thee be ashamed. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed, let not mine enemies triumph over me. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Of whom then will I be afraid? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear? One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I will dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, to inquire in his temple, the temple of the Lord, to behold the beauty of the Lord, to inquire in his temple, the temple of the Lord. You are my hiding place. You always fill my heart with songs of deliverance. Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. I will trust in you. Let the weak say I am strong in the strength of my God. Let the weak say I am strong in the strength of my God. I will bless the Lord at all times. Bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. I will bless the Lord at all times. Bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let's exalt his name together. I will bless the Lord at all times. Bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Therefore the steps of a righteous man, they are ordered of God. They are ordered of God. Therefore the steps of a righteous man, they are ordered, ordered of God. In the time of trouble, God will uphold him. God will uphold him. God will uphold him. In the time of trouble, God will uphold him. Therefore, the steps of a righteous man are ordered of God. Hallelujah. Well, this is Sanctity of Life Sunday, January 21st, 2018. And I will not do my usual, which is bring a little history lesson and other certain things in, because basically Sanctity of Life, which maybe that's a very formalized term. We could say the preciousness of life, for example. Life of all sorts is precious, even though historically in the world we see situations where life has not been treated that way. And of course, I have in my hand today what I usually carry in my pocket at all times, Baby Hope, a baby at actually 9 weeks gestational age. And of course, there's no doubt when you look at Baby Hope that Baby Hope looks like a baby, a miniature baby, because it's a baby in there. So just to start with today, if you'll turn in your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 30. That's Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19 through 20. Deuteronomy 30 through 19 through 20. And we'll say that the title of this message is Choose Life. So whoever gets there first, go ahead and read it. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 19 through 20.
I'll read it from the English Standard Version.
Okay, good.
I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life, that you and your offspring may live. Loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice, and holding fast to him, for he is your life and length of days, that you may dwell in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them.
Well, it's interesting, of course, that we'll say this is, we could look at it as a command from the Lord. Then we could also look at it like saying, okay, you have a choice. And this is the choice I want you to make, that the Lord's saying, choose life. And just like ancient Israel, we as a nation and individuals must come to grips with the option and opportunity that's spoken of there in Deuteronomy 30:19. Because God has set before us the option of life and death and the opportunity to choose life. And of course, it's very tragic that as a culture, it appears we've chosen death. So we certainly marked down January 22nd, 1973 as a date that will live in infamy. Of course, just the way FDR talked about
The bombing of Pearl Harbor is a day of infamy. The greatest day of infamy for America was Roe versus Wade. And of course, on that date, the United States Supreme Court made it legal for our nation to murder human beings by what doctors call abortion. That's when the floodgates of death were opened, now 45 years ago this week. And to his credit, our present president, Donald Trump, actually addressed the March for Life, the 2018 March for Life, that was very well attended, probably one of the best attended throughout the history of it. And he addressed them actually telephonically, but electronically, which was good. Usually that doesn't happen, so that was wonderful that he'd do that. Now we can also look and consider the fact that horrible deaths from abortion with chilling accuracy, one human life will be destroyed every 20 seconds in Americans' abortion clinics and in hospitals. Of course, we call them killing fields. Nearly 3,000 innocent people will be murdered in America tomorrow. When added up, that's around 1 million Americans a year. Over the past 45 years, nearly 60 million have been murdered without mercy in these United States. These are individuals that had no trial, no legal representation, no opportunity to defend themselves, yet they have been executed in a cruel and inhumane way, which, of course, as we've talked about, the Constitution and, you know, due process and so forth and so on, I have often said to people who believe in that, and said, but you don't believe in due process for an unborn child. That hearing those statistics ought to really be a weighty thing that hits us, that nearly 60 million lives are gone. And you think about the catastrophic disaster where the entire populations of California, Arizona, Nevada, Oregon, and Washington are wiped out, gone. That much population, you think of it that way, that those states combined. And that's what we're talking about. America, abortion is America's Holocaust. And it's a moral outrage that ought to make every Christian in this nation rise up in righteous indignation. There was a march, a women's march in January 2017 in D.C. with an estimated 500,000 participants with other cities around the world. And they were expressing their indignation. The organizer claimed that the purpose of the march was mainly a protest against President Trump for his indefensible locker room remarks and immoral behavior, but it was mostly about defending abortion and Planned Parenthood. In fact, Cecile Richards, director of Planned Parenthood, was one of the main speakers. And Planned Parenthood is the largest abortion provider in America and receives $500 million in taxpayer dollars and performs one-third of the abortions. In the past, the U.S. House and Senate voted not only to defund Obamacare, but also 80% of federal funding for Planned Parenthood. So the pro-abortion crowd is worried sick that President Trump and the Republican Congress are going to restrict what they believe is every woman's right, but is in fact an ungodly wrong. So that's why we're all so unhinged. That's why they talk about a war on women. That's why Cecile Richards, the head of Planned Parenthood, Gloria Steinem, Madonna, Scarlett Johansson, Ashley Judd, all of them have donned their pink hats and screamed at Trump and Congress and conservatives in general. Remember lewd and vulgar signs with a rule of the day? Remember that Madonna even said, I have thought a lot about blowing up the White House. Anyway, the big message was, don't mess with Roe versus Wade. We want abortion. So, what I personally plan to do, and have lived this way for many years, is to expose the deceptive arguments of the pro-abortion crowd, and then help to show other people that the declared truth of God's Word regarding preborn human life, and finally give some very definite things that people can do about this immoral madness called abortion, this war on human life. Of course, the first thing is the deceptive arguments of the pro-abortion activists, and talking about those deceptive arguments. You know, they like to be called pro-choice, and now defenders of, they call themselves defenders of reproductive health, have a lot of persuasive sounding arguments they use to shout down their opponents. Of course, when you listen closely to them, you see that they really are all that sound when we subject them. They're not at all sound at all, and we talk about it and listen to them. And another thing, a fetus is not a baby. But of course we know, and this was a long time ago, when former presidents of the American College of Obstetrics and Gynecology and American Academy of Neurology met in Cambridge, Mass., presented a declaration that said the fetus is not a subhuman species. The embryo is alive, human, and unique in the special environmental support required for that stage of human development. The bottom line, the biological facts are absolutely conclusive that the fetus is a living human being. So, yet many are being deceived by the terminology used by the abortion activists to refer to the baby in the mother's womb. They talk about embryos, product of conception, and fetus, and they take the word fetus, for example. That's a perfectly good Latin word meaning preborn baby. But it is a Latin word which most people do not understand these days. So the abortion activists know this, which is why they like to use these terms so that you won't know what's going on. I think about the Holocaust, you know, when we talk about Nazi Germany, and of course the Dred Scott case of 1857, when the Supreme Court said that the black man was not protected by the Constitution because a slave was not a person. And of course it reminds us of Germany, where Hitler and his regime said that the Jew was not a person. The Nazis were shrewd enough to know that before you can enslave and exterminate human beings, first thing you have to do is depersonalize and dehumanize them. And of course, another thing that comes up all the time is, what about rape and incest and saving the life of the mother? But of course, all of that has been proven. The situation is, okay, rape and incest, why do you hold that against the baby and kill the baby for somebody else's action? And of course, in the life of the mother, it is a rare circumstance that, and doctors have proven that, that it's rare that the mother's life is endangered. Think about the gospel singer Ethel Waters. She was conceived by rape. What about Ruth, a man who has a book of the Bible named after her, who was named in the genealogy of Lord Jesus? She descended from a man named Moab, who was born out of an incestuous relationship. So, who wants to play God? And what about handicaps and birth defects? When a doctor tells you there's a bad problem with the baby and says the abortion might be the best option, it causes some to think. And of course, we've heard doctors say that before. For example, that, you know, let's say that there's a mother who has tuberculosis. She's already given birth to four children. One died, one is blind, one is deaf, and a fourth contracted tuberculosis from the mother. Now she's pregnant. Again, what should she do? Well, if she had aborted, then the world would not have been, it would have been robbed of the music of Ludwig von Beethoven. Right? What about poor unwed teens? You know, that's another argument they use. Over 60% of the women who abort the babies are over 20. Most are not unwed teens. 40% of all abortions are performed on patients for the second, third, or fourth time. 76% of the women who abort their babies are unmarried. 53% of the women who abort their babies have no children. And fully 20% of all pregnancies are terminated by abortion, not counting miscarriages. So, you know, you look at the statistics and then you go back, of course, to the original Planned Parenthood founder, Margaret Sanger. And, of course, we remember that Hillary Clinton spoke very well of Planned Parenthood back in the rally of 2015. She said, "I admire Margaret Sanger enormously. Clinton told the event's attendees her courage, her tenacity, her vision." Well, Clinton's not alone. Several years ago, Margaret Sanger was named one of Time's 20 most influential Americans of all time. And what was Margaret Sanger's vision? To improve the American population by controlled breeding, which is called eugenics. So, what else? How about, doesn't a woman have a right to choose? Well, doesn't a woman have the right to do what she pleases with her own body? That's what many women in their pink hats were proclaiming in the Women's March last year. It's my body, I have the right to choose. Well, no, not according to law. In most states, it's illegal for a woman to be a prostitute. It's illegal to fill her body with illicit drugs. It's illegal to get intoxicated with alcohol and drive. So no, a woman can't entirely do what she chooses, or any of us for that matter. So we look at those very things that they use, and of course, what is particularly important, although not so much to the unredeemed world, is the declared truth of Scripture. But what is the declared truth of Scripture? We claim the Bible, accept the Bible, the Word of God, and if you're a Christian, it ought to be, and there are over 100 texts that deal with the problem. Preborn human life in the Old Testament, you look at Psalm 139, for example, that's a very good one. If you want to take a look there, Psalm 139, verses 13 through 16, that God forms the child in the mother's womb. And of course we go to Jeremiah 1:5. Jeremiah was a prophet of God and told him, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you." And of course, preborn human life in the New Testament. Luke's Gospel, we read that Mary, who was pregnant with Jesus, went to visit her relative Elizabeth. You listen to verse 41. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, Luke chapter 2, verses 12 and 16. In other words, there's no distinction made in the Greek New Testament between a preborn baby and a newborn child. No distinction. If a mother delivered the child and then decided to kill the baby, would that be okay? What about the Lincoln Memorial University student who received national attention several years ago because she delivered her baby, ripped the umbilical cord loose, wrapped the baby in a sweatshirt, and threw the unwanted baby in the trash? She went to jail. So do you know how an abortion is performed? It's ironic that the media will never allow you to see one. They'll show some some of the 6 million victims of the Holocaust, Nazi Holocaust, but they none of the 60 million victims of the American Holocaust. Why is that? Because as supporters of abortion rights, they know that if the light ever shined in that darkness, there would be likely, you know, such an outcry that abortion would be stopped. Then, preborn human life must be protected. As Proverbs 24, verse 11 through 12 said, rescue those being led away to death. Hold back those staggering towards slaughter. And of course, is abortion wrong? Is it premeditated murder? Violates the sixth commandment, then Exodus 20:13, you shall not murder. And I want you to know that God hates it. According to Proverbs chapter 6, verses 6 through 17, there are six things the Lord hates. Seven are an abomination to him: a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. Okay, so here's some definite actions that we can take. We've talked about all the deceptive arguments made by abortion activists and declared the truth of Scripture. Now, here's some definite actions we can take. Stay informed. And, of course, that's why, you know, I'm preaching this message and getting this out, and this was not just for us here and now, but also being recorded to go on our website and YouTube and so forth and so on, so people who need the help that we're talking about can listen to that. So we need to inform others, no doubt about that. And of course, choose life even when there is a moral failure, because among our own, that leads to a second need too, and this is very important, and I've certainly learned this over the years too, is show compassion. We need to show compassion towards the unwed mother and the women who have had an abortion, not condoning the sin, but caring for the sinner. And of course, in the Bible, in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I think I've certainly over the years been moved by a lot of testimonies, like Silent No More awareness campaign back years ago, and I had to reconcile a lot of things in my own life. So, I mean, I can certainly say this is not something that's just what I'm preaching, but something that I've experienced. You know, and start engaging. If you're not engaged in some way, that's why I said even just carrying baby hope is a very good thing. We need to start engaging on this issue in the public arena. Jesus said we are the salt and light, Matthew 5:13-14. He commanded us, give to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God, Matthew 22:21. So it's a practical application for a Christian who is a citizen of America to participate in the public debate and to seek to have a positive salt and light influence. Pray that the dignity of every human being and every human life will be respected. Let's affirm President Trump for appointing pro-life justices and judges to the court. Contact representatives and senators by calling the U.S. Capitol switchboard at 202-224-3121. And budget reconciliation that defunds Planned Parenthood. Conscience Protection Act, for example, is an omnibus spending bill. The Born Alive Survivors Protection Act. A whole lot of different things. So educate yourself on pro-life arguments. Support a pregnancy care in center in your area. And of course, we support New Hampshire Right to Life. And of course, Options for Women in Dover, which is a great ministry we've been supporting for 30, 35 years, something like that. And find a life-affirming ministry for women in whatever area you live in, Because it's another thing that Heartbeat International, they have a worldwide directory of that sort of thing. And effectively denying money to those who commit and promote abortion. You know, I'm just randomly going through a number of things there. And we should thank President Trump for his pro-life actions. And remember that elections have consequences. But President Trump cannot put more pro-life judges on the court or sign pro-life legislation into law unless he has a conservative pro-life majority in Congress, and especially in the Senate. So we know that all of that is important. And of course, basically also, we always talk about actions, but one of our most important actions is to pray. And here's a prayer that we can pray. Oh God, we pray for your mercy. Our nation deserves to be destroyed because of abortion alone, even if we had no other sins. Have mercy on us as a people. We pray for those who have had abortions and for all those who have had a hand in them. We pray that you will lead them to the cross and help them look up to Jesus, whose hands and feet were pierced, that their sins might be paid for. Thank you for the forgiveness and the new beginning that Jesus offers. Give us the courage to have a voice for those who have no voice. For Christ's sake, amen. And of course, the invitation when the Bible says to choose life, that not only applies to preborn children, it also applies to mainly to those who need to be born again as well. So come as God leads you, and we certainly have sung some great songs today, reminding us of all the things that the Lord does for us. So, thank you, Lord.